Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for your midweek motivator with CB and the boys. With your hosts, Crystal CB Booker, and the boys, George Biker Boy Hallman, Roger Hawkins, and J. Lee Ducey Man Thomas. Get set for music, motivation, conversation, and fun. Now here's CB and the boys.
Hey, 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 everybody, and welcome to another CB and the Boys. I'm CB, your hostess with the most sets. And I got my boy, Mr. George Biker Boy Hallman, in the building, and the fabulous Mimi Acosta. How are you guys today? Sorry, you guys. Little technical difficulties. Here we go. All right.
Hey.
So, as I was saying, this is CB, and I got the fabulous Miss Mimi Acosta in the building, and Mr. George Bikerboy Holman in the building. Roger Hawkins hasn't joined us in the building yet, nor has Jay Lee Ducey Man Thomas. Hopefully, they will join us momentarily. How are you guys tonight? Looks like we're having some... technical difficulties tonight. What's going on?
Every now and then, that's what we get. It just goes to show that technology is made by man and not the universe,
right?
Or else it would be too perfect.
Exactly. You hit that one.
So we
got to
keep
up.
We got to pick up the mic and keep it moving, right? We drop the mic, we got to pick it up and keep moving, right?
Yeah, that's right. That is right.
Yeah.
What's up, George?
So what's up?
So what's up?
And how's your day today?
Long. Long, long, long,
long, long.
But I'm here in living color.
Hey.
Any stories from Wally World to share with us this week?
Nope. I got one story. I ain't there.
Oh, cool.
That's it. That's all.
That's the only story.
That's it.
So nothing out of the ordinary has happened when you were there, if you want to share?
That's it.
Well,
okay.
Then.
Oh.
Well, our topic tonight, as the title said, we are talking about respect, or lack thereof. So where do you guys think respect has gone? Because we were all raised to be mannerable. We were all raised to be cordial. We were all raised that, you know, you may not like each other, but you at least have to respect each other. So where has that gone?
The hell?
The hell?
It's just gone. People have just lost respect, period. Don't understand why. And we can't blame it on COVID because it's been like this for a very long time. It's just slipped from generation to generation. It just slipped away. And I think it slipped when we started allowing our kids to say shit back to us and us not throw a damn freaking shoe across the room. Pop them in the lip, you know? When it became okay for the kids to call the police on a parent for popping them in the mouth, for them being slick. When they decided to take the Bibles out of schools. And the list goes on. you know, and when, you know, when the PD departments decided that they're not going to be cool with the kids anymore and show the kids the police lights of their cars from young so the kids could love the little police cars and, you know, respect the officer when they see the officer.
Yeah. But
you know, first
in
that, it's a generation of things that happened, you know, that has gotten totally out of hand. And now I don't know how the turn back is going to be because it's only getting worse.
Right. I totally agree. I mean, it's unfortunate that it is that way. You know, it is how, that is how it is. But I definitely agree, you know, with the police for sure, because now people are trained basically to fear the police. Like, it's a shame that we live in a society now that when there is a 911, you hesitate to call 911 because you don't know what the outcome is going to be. You don't know if you'll be breathing after the 911 call. So it's unfortunate that that's where we are now.
Right.
Did you agree with that?
Of course. At one point, it was the person that called 911 is the person who's safe. Not anymore. Now it's like, okay, I'm going to call 911. Am I going to go to jail or am I not going to survive this call?
Right.
And people are very skeptical now.
Oh, yeah. With very, very valid reasons for being so.
Yeah, definitely.
You know? It's interesting to see the many people who do call 911 and it results in the caller being taken to jail and the person they're calling on just gets away scot-free.
Right.
You know,
so everybody's taking matters in their own hands, and that's where mostly everything happens, because now, especially when you're talking about domestic situations with mom, dad, or stepmom or stepdad or whatever the case may be, and you got kids at home looking at this happening.
Right.
Now they think it's okay for them to call the mom, whatever they want to call the mom, or fist fight dad or the stepdad or whatever, and it just gets crazy. Police shows up. It's not just a matter of somebody going to jail. Somebody might lose their life.
Right. Exactly.
And it could be the officer as well.
Yeah. That is true. I saw a video recently where a young man was stopped. He ran a stop sign or something, at least that's what the officer said. And so she chased him all the way to his house. His mother comes outside, and she stands watch. And she was, like, telling the officer, just give him his ticket. And the officer's steady there asking him, are you on parole? Have you been in prison? You know, stuff like that, that's not a routine question. That's a question that they ask people of color, and it was pretty obvious that that's what was going on. And instead of running his stuff, you know, he had his insurance, his driver's license. He even answered her questions when, by law, he really didn't have to answer any of her questions because those were racial profiling questions.
Right.
And the officer, instead of running his stuff, she called for backup. So it was like five other cops that rolled on the scene on a traffic stop when it didn't have to be that way.
Wow.
And if not for his mother, you know, being astute enough to start filming the altercation, like, immediately, you know, it could have ended badly.
Right.
You know, and her sergeant or whoever her superior was, they came on the scene, and the mother was talking to him, and he's up there apologizing, you know, that it went that way. And then, of course, the officer's trying to lie and cover herself to justify, you know, stopping this young man and letting things get to the extent that it had gotten. And it's just, and it's sad. You know, that it's like that. And, you know, as a mother of a son, I worry about my son every day. I worry about my daughter. When they, you know, drive away, you just you worry as a parent. You can't help it because of the day and age that we live in right now. And it's really sad that it has come to that and it's gotten to that. And it looks like Roger Hopkins has joined us tonight. What's up, Roger?
Say, babies. What's up, ladies? How you doing?
What's up, what's up?
You know, yeah, living the dream. Just trying to get everything in order. And, I just took myself, I'm taking a holiday tomorrow. I'm obviously not doing jack shit work-related. So whoever I have a contract with is going to be waiting.
Well, I think you've earned but other that because you've been working
thank you.
Quite
I appreciate it.
Because you've been working quite a lot. So before we continue on the topic tonight, which we're talking about respect, where has it gone? I have a song, and of course you know there's a song for everything, and I finally upload it. But this song is called Respect, and this is by the late, great, legendary Aretha Franklin. So here's Respect. She's asking for too much. What do you guys think?
Disrespect. Somebody disrespected her. That's why that song came out.
You know, what's interesting is, I know what she's saying. I think I would, at this point, you kind of change the wordage a little bit to, it's almost like I don't actually ask. I would never ask or beg anybody for respect because, I mean, I demand it. But only because I absolutely will treat people the same way, and I'm not going to come in with any lower expectation. So it's really not an option. It's cool if people like me, but that's an option. I don't give a shit. You will respect me, especially if we have a working relationship or something where we have to be around one another. And if there's no love, that's fine. But there has to be mutual respect. Otherwise, we don't have anything to talk about, and we can't work together. So I'm not asking for shit, to be honest, just to be quite frankly. That's a deal breaker if we don't have that. But I also don't have a problem giving it with no problem. You know, you start out with that. The rest of it can kind of be built. Respect has to start out, you know. But I also think that, you know, you have to be worthy of that. So you just can't be a mess of a person and, you know, just all over the place. Yeah, and exactly. I agree that it has to be earned and all that stuff. But out the gate, you know, from a clean slate, I just say, sure, give people that part of respect that's due. But if it grows from there, yeah, that's pretty much up to that person. Now, blatant disrespect is something totally different. And what's interesting, like, I guess, and again, like, okay, so we're all minorities. You guys are ladies. I'm a black man. So we've, you know, in any sense of the word, wherever we go, we probably have some type of, you know, adversity to overcome. You know, and moving out to this part of the country was kind of a culture shock a little bit for me, and I realized that in the work world because there's just not a lot of, I guess, you know, brothers that do what I do out here. And so it's interesting when I go places, the reception at times is pretty varied, not always positive. But what I find is interesting is when you let people know right away, I'm here to help you and do you a favor, not the other way around. Don't ever forget that. And then when you kind of walk the talk, then things change pretty rapidly, which I find pretty funny. Once you realize I'm not the cleaning crew, I'm not here to rob you, I'm not asking for a hamburger, like I said, basically get the hell out of my way and let me fix your, you know, place of business. Then people go, oh, and I say it all the time, I go, oh, you like me now. And they get really, really uncomfortable because, you know,
right,
initially you didn't know what to think.
It's the law of the universe, you know. And if you come with that, letting them know, hey, look, I'm not the enemy. I'm here to help you. What's up? Then they'll be like, oh, yeah, okay, well, you know, let's work it out. You know, but at first, initially, the color of the skin thing becomes that thing until you let them know otherwise, until you let them know, hey, look, it's not about that right now. This is what it's about.
Right.
I have something that you need.
Exactly. And I'm quick to say that because, unfortunately, you know, it's not, I guess it's not common. And so, unfortunately, we kind of have to introduce or reintroduce ourselves at times. I don't have a problem doing that, but I do find it pretty interesting that, you know, some of the other counterparts in these places, they tend to be a little, you know, unhappy. It's almost like they don't like that. You know, I think it's funny. They don't like that. They don't like to see, you know, someone that doesn't look like them in a position that would be considered, you know, I won't say superior, but, you know, I mean, like, if you're at a restaurant or if you're someone like that, well, I'm not here serving. That's fine. Noble profession, do what you do. But they look at me as if I should be beneath them and what they're doing, and I'm not. And so it's just kind of funny to get the, you know, to check some of the responses and things like that. And, of course, in my own people, a lot of times I see immense pride. That's one of the most rewarding things you can see is people going, man, I love seeing one of us in this particular field. I love hearing that because I almost feel like, you know what, if there's a young individual, they get a little bit of hope. If there's someone a little bit older than me, then they go, you know, do your thing, young man, do your thing. So I like that. But, again, from anyone, I don't care who, woman, man, old, young, immediately I demand respect. And, you know, if you don't, we have a problem. We have a problem immediately. And I had an encounter with that, I think it was Monday. You know, like I said, here's the thing. I didn't leave that job site, that construction site. The general contractor left, and that's the boss. But he left and didn't come back till I was gone. I'm not one of your guys. I don't work for you. What you can't do is act a fool with me. So allow me to reintroduce myself. And again, from that point, he can talk, but we don't have to talk. Just give me my respect and let's all do our job. So, you know, I love it. You know, we all love Aretha, but you can't even ask anymore. It's almost like a sign of weakness. You have to be like, let's get down and do this the right way, or we don't have anything to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Mm-hmm. But I think people kind of get a quick feeling of who they can and can't get away with things with. Like I heard you guys talking about the situation where certain young people get stopped and pulled over and things like that. I think we have to be very much, we have to think on our feet. We have to be very, very aware of the situation. I mean, you can only do what you can do, but I think the response, body language, all of these things make a huge difference in sometimes in whether we go home or not. And
right.
it's not about whether it's fair. I don't care about it being fair, you know. And I explain that to my kid. I do it myself. It's not about being fair. Do you want to go home to plan for another day or to figure out how you're going to rectify this, or do you want to argue and win this particular battle and lose the inevitable? So, you know, big difference.
Yeah.
So, you know. But I always start out by offering, you know, you offer that little smattering of respect, see how it's received. It's kind of like sampling somebody's cooking. And if it's received properly, then, you know, proceed. But if it's not, shit, pull it back, tighten it up.
Right.
So, Roger, have you ever had any other man call you a boy? And if so, how did you handle that?
Oh, wow. That's interesting because, like, you know, sometimes you catch these, what we call good old boys, and they or people that are comfortable. And you can tell, like, I put it like this, I've heard some people that are either comfortable with other people doing it or from a different location. And I've heard them get comfortable and it starts to come out, and then I stop. And when you freeze, they tighten it back up. They catch themselves and go, oh, I probably can't do that. And it's not like, it's not what you're saying, like, hey, boy, get in the street. But it's more like, you know how they you do so-and-so, get over there, boy. Like that's kind of what they do. But again, I can't give you that inch because you'll take a mile. I don't let things get crazy. But again, you know, something like that, it's just like from different countries, like, hand gestures and signals and things can be misinterpreted, so I don't go left about that. But in the sense of I'm directly talking to you, I am absolutely meaning offense. I'm calling you a boy as if you're three-fifths of a man and all that old school. No, absolutely not. And I'll be honest with you, my resting dick face probably won't ever invite that. And I'm glad because I don't want to cross that bridge, but oh God, I can only imagine. And I would be probably calm initially, depending on where I was and who was around. But that wouldn't go over. It wouldn't be unnoticed, and it would not be not handled for sure.
Yeah.
So in other words, I've never been to Mississippi.
You know, there's a saying back home in the islands that and I know I've said it a couple of times, that a monkey knows what tree to climb.
Word.
That really is a true saying, because people know. They know the line to cross, or when to cross it, or if not to cross it, or not even to approach it at all.
Yeah. I think you're 100% right, because I realize that. You know how, and I know we've all kind of done the whole, well, I wish somebody would, that maneuver when it comes to, you know, some of the things we hear about, or if we talk to a friend, and they're like, man, you won't believe what just happened. And then we're all sitting there going, oh, my God, if that ever happened to me. But I think you hit it on the head, Mimi. Straight up. People just know. It's just like they say, people that get attacked or robbed or things like, or, you know, violated in some fashion, oftentimes, the vast majority of the times, your assailant or whoever that may be has studied you. They know you. You're actually probably familiar with them. And so when people do things like that, I agree 100%. They test the water. And they kind of know, I bet I could pull it off with this person. Their body language says they're not secure, or, you know, whatever. And then you have the other ones where they go, yeah, probably don't want to do it. It's not worth the battle. So, yeah, I agree. That's a great saying, though. Monkey knows which tree to climb.
Yeah.
grab a branch over here, partner. Grab a branch over here. And, you know, that's not to say, you know, I'm not the baddest person on the planet by any stretch, but it's one of those. People know who's not going to make that easy, who will at least make it uncomfortable. If not, you know, a bad life decision, period. I think people can read and study other people well enough, and, you know, bullies and people that prey on weaker people or whatever, they study. Body language speaks volumes. How you speak, what you say, how you respond, all of these things are like telltale signs. And we don't even know the people that we're doing it because it's kind of our nature, but people are paying attention to that, and they go, yeah, I see that one right there. I'm going for that one. And then they go, nope, not that one. That's way too much trouble.
Right.
That one over there, yeah, I think I could get over on that one. This one, I'd be willing to bet you with the right word, I bet I could get in. That one, no, that one will die and take me with them. So, yeah, I think people think it's kind of a process of elimination. I really think so. I really think so.
Definitely.
Oh, man. I just don't know what I would do. And what's interesting is, you know, having, you know, kind of gone. We all talk about, like, our upbringing and schooling and being – I look back on some situations when I was younger, and they weren't overtly racist.
Mm-hmm.
But knowing what I know now, it's like, you son of a bitch, because it would be like if it was a teacher or if it was an adult or if it was just someone who knew – just by their wording and things like that, they knew they were getting over it because I was 12 or I was 14 or things that they were saying or not saying or suggesting were just straight up, you know, racist as hell. But obviously, you know, hindsight's 20/20. So I think about some of those conversations or whatever, and nobody ever said anything horrible to me. I'm very, very thankful. I never had anything just horrendously terrible said to me, but there were times when a suggestion may have been made or some type of observation that maybe was supposed to be complimentary because in your mind is like, yeah, you know, and then when I think back, I go, dirty mother. Or like, for instance, can I say this, and for all of our white family out there, let me just throw this at you. You know, if we agree that you're cool, your friend, your family, you can, whatever, that's cool. Stop saying every black person looks like the most popular black person of the day. That is the most annoying shit on the planet. So, in other words, when Will Smith was the hot guy, everybody looked like Will Smith. Oh, hey, you look like Will Smith. Oh, the fuck I do. I got the smallest ears in the world, and I'm like 4 inches shorter. No, I don't. But, and then,
you know,
if somebody, whoever's the hot guy, you know, it could be, you know, Kobe Bryant, you know, Desmond Howard. It could be any damn body, you know. Whoever's funny, whoever's popular, hey, you look like Chadwick Boseman. Oh, the hell I do. But they have to have something to relate you to. It's such an uncomfortable thing. It's really kind of delicious because I just love to make them wiggle. But it's like, shut up. No, I don't. No, I don't. If any of us cracks a joke, now we're Kevin Hart. Now we're Will Smith. Now we're Eddie Griffin, whoever the funny nigga of the day is. And it's like, come on, man. Like, I can see, you know, Robin Williams in a black person, just like I can see Will Smith in a white person if they act the same way. It doesn't have to be just based on, oh, man, who's somebody cool that's black that wouldn't be offensive. Like, don't do that. That's really just kind of back-ended racism, even if you don't mean for it to be.
Right.
It's like telling every white girl she looks like, you know, Britney Spears. But once upon a time, that would have been a compliment. I bet it's not now. But if we go, oh, my God, you're blonde, you look like Britney. They're pissed now. So,
yeah.
It's, you know, life lessons and things. It's cool. Oh, got to ask you guys. Have you guys seen the it's going around about the whole the slave themed wedding?
The what?
Holy shit. Okay, long story short, mixed couple. So it's a black dude, of course, and a white girl.
Yeah.
Now here's the problem. Marry who you want. You know, she's good looking, all this. I don't have a problem with that. They had a slave themed wedding. You heard me. So in other words, he's shucking and jiving. He's dressed up like fucking Jim Crow or Fiddler or some damn body. She's dressed up like Missy Ann. And then they've got like this photo shoot where he's on his knee. He's doing all the kowtowing. She's like releasing him from his shackles and shit and chains. Oh, it's a whole country ass mess. And you already know, it, you know, the intraweb is blowing up. I mean, it's hot like fish grease. It's terrible. You got to check it out.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a mess. I've kind of been off the scene a little bit myself, but today I happened to catch it, and it takes a lot to make me just go, like, speechless go, what? But there's always, you know, it's one in every family, they say.
Why would you even agree to something like that? That is just like, and why would the family be, like, all gung-ho for it? Like, that's not cool.
Right. So, yeah. I haven't seen the whole thing. I've just seen clips, and I've seen some pictures, and I've seen, like, you know, little excerpts. I haven't seen the whole thing, but I don't need to. I don't give a shit if it's for a movie role. I don't care if it's if her family's rich. There is nothing you can tell me that would justify doing it. Now, if he wants to be like, look, I don't care what you guys think. I just secured my future. Her father paid me $7 million to do this. Hey, brother, make your money. I guess I can't, you know, hate the player. But, I mean, like that shit he did just said black men and black proposals back 62 years. That's horrible. It's horrible. Just look it up. You'll trust me. You'll find it. Look up slave-themed wedding, and you'll get an indigestion probably.
That is crazy. I didn't even know that was a thing. Like,
it's don't say it's a thing. That's it's their thing. I don't think that's good. I mean, not that there's not a video out right now. As a matter of fact, there's and Kev on Stage is who I saw it from, but he's talking about there. I don't keep up with young people music, like all old people say, but there's kind of a slave-themed music video as well. So it's making me wonder, like, wow, what are they feeding these young black kids to make them, you know, go backwards? But I also feel like because it's not being taught, the cut is getting further and further away to some of this generation because they haven't been made aware of it. We had to hear from our grandparents, maybe even parents that had the experience, like actual real live Jim Crow. You know, real live, you can't go this far in your own city. Like so it was fresh enough for us that we were like, no, we carried that torch. What do your kids really relate to from a standpoint of any of that shit now? Our kids don't. Our kids don't know real struggle. It's pathetic. I mean, it's great they have gotten this far, but I don't like the fact that they don't have the knowledge and the education to show them where their pride should generate and why they should always staunchly defend, you know, their people. Like, that's why they don't want to teach critical race theory and things like that now. When you've got kids doing that, like, that wasn't a real thing. Like, slavery's all of a sudden a joke. You'll never see Jews making light of the Holocaust, ever. Not even the Jewish community.
No.
You'll never see them do a Holocaust video. You'll never see them, you know, have an imitation Hitler in any of their proposals or anything like that. Hitler won't preside over a Jewish wedding. Are you shitting me? They take that seriously. Yet, this coon is out there letting Mammy unshackle him and all that. I don't know what kind of family he has, but the closest thing to a brother should beat the shit out of him. And I don't know if his parents are alive or where his family is, if he's even got any family that claims him, but I cannot believe that somebody would attend that letter. I don't give a shit. Look, I only got one son. That's my only son. If he did that, rest assured. Man. Your last ass whooping came back.
You might not be here
and,
right now sharing this story.
Yeah. I'd be on this call from behind bars. Yeah. I'm shortening by
hand. I'm reading about this now. This is insane. Why would you do that? I just don't know what to say. You know, very sorry.
I'm speechless,
but I'm just speechless here. Like, really. I'm looking at these
pictures. It's a trip, right?
And I'm just like, what?
Is that a real situation, or were they creating something for social media to get followers?
And you know what, Mimi? Great, that's a great question. That's why I said, I don't know the full story. I just saw that.
Look at this.
Oh, yeah.
Look at that.
But even if it's for publicity, and I know what they say, no such thing as bad publicity. That just is
the most tasteless shit ever, though. Him as a black man, he is slapping every black individual, every minority,
right.
All the little kids looking at this like, are we supposed to do that when we get married? Like, they're sending all kinds of wrong messages. And her, she don't come up missing.
Hey, for those that are watching, let me explain what this is a picture of. This is a picture of an interracial couple who did a wedding and engagement photos under a slave theme. So this is a slave theme wedding. Look at this mess. Look at this mess.
I hope that's not real, because
like,
if it is, that's just not it.
I'm in awe. I am just in awe that somebody would do that. I mean, look at this, guys. This is just insane. Why would you do that? I mean, that's like saying, like Kanye West said, you know, slavery is a choice. Come on now. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And because they're
talking
about
respect,
respect
right
that's
there.
Really disrespectful on their part to do that, you know.
I kind of agree. I think, like Mimi said, I don't know if it's publicity or not. I really don't. What I do know is it doesn't matter. It's a bad look.
Of course.
It's a total
There's
bad look.
There's no excuse
look.
For that.
No.
And I don't give a shit about publicity and things. Look, there are people, okay, let's take, you know, look at Tucker Carlson, look at people like Candace Owens, look at people like Jeremiah Wright. There's always going to be someone who's going to go completely opposite of what their so-called people ask, expect, or want. And that's okay. I'm okay with that. You know what? Opinions make the world go round. But you don't have – I don't care what side of the law you're on. I don't care what side of politics. This is an individual who either hates themselves or who they are, where they come from, their parents or something so much that they are willing – that's really just their way of saying, you know what? I don't like being black or part black or whatever I am, and I want everybody to know I don't want to identify with that part of me. And
but he don't
that's
even
a
have
whole...
a choice. He doesn't even have a choice if he looks in the mirror hard enough. Dude.
Yeah, but you and I both know that there are quite a few celebrities and quite a few people that are high profile that refuse to acknowledge that particular part of them, their heritage. Look, I'm Asian, I'm Indian, I'm fucking, you know, Bangladesh, I'm everything, but they'll never say, you know, I'm black, because that's not, yeah, that's a no-no. In this country anyway, now you might find some type of quote-unquote Egyptian or whatever ancestry that you like to try to use, you're black. You know, that's what it is, but you can't say that. Or, you know, you can't say, it's just like, you know. They have minorities in every quote unquote group, believe it or not. You know, if you look at the Asian persuasion, you know, they have a pecking order, believe it or not. But what's interesting is at least as a group, whatever particular group they are, they still try to stick together. They don't try not to claim anything. If you're Filipino, you don't try to say you're Japanese. You
right.
know, and that's kind of the problem, unfortunately, with other groups. But I was just wondering. That one threw me for a loop.
Well, Patrick on Bigo said that he needs to be whipped and take the slay theme all the way, because that's just that's ridiculous.
I knew my man Cedric was going. Yeah.
That's
she must go ahead.
That's reality. You really want to play that
game?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, put that horse whip on and shit, since he thinks, again. But when you have idiots like Kanye saying it was a choice and shit like that, I mean, you know, I can't listen to people like that.
No.
Yeah, that means nothing.
But, I mean, just to make that statement alone was the most ridiculous thing to me, because, number one, anyone that is in bondage, they don't have a choice being there. If you're in bondage, if someone is holding you against your will, you don't have a choice. So to say that, you know, and I like the spoof that Snoop did, you know, where he was like, oh, man, you going to pick some cotton? Nah, man, I don't feel like it today. You know, it's like...
Oh yeah, well, I was gonna say what's interesting, like with the whole Snoop thing, it is a joke, but you know, in Egypt and in parts of South America and things like that, they did have what was called indentured servitude. The only difference being is if you owed a debt or whatever, you could work it off, which means, yeah, you quote-unquote belong to somebody, or at least you owed your services to them until your debt was worked off. But after that, you were free to go. That ain't slavery. And when people try to compare the two, that's bullshit. That's like owing a car.
Totally.
When that car note's paid off, guess what? I'm free and clear. Shit, they didn't get to retire from slavery. Nigga, you had to die.
Literally. Cedric said if he's feeling like he doesn't belong, that's on him. But do express yourself as if representing all. And you know, and he's right in that sense, because anytime any of us, anytime anyone of color does anything, all of us get grouped into that same category. So a black man is arrested for being drunk in public, then it's all black people drink in public and get drunk.
Right.
You know,
and
then all black people do is OD. You know, we all get grouped in.
Right. Even if the numbers, don't even support that. No, you're right. It's unfair, but that's because we don't write the narrative. You know? And because of that, so the people that do get to say what they want. Look at how... You know, again, news. Everybody calls it fake news, whatever the case may be. But look at how they, you know, they put whatever spin they want on it. They want to tell you right now, you know, again, look how many people believe Elvis is still alive. Shit, let's go with that. So you don't mean to tell me you think somebody can get on TV in front of a news camera and tell the majority of the country anything and they'll buy it? I mean, that's ridiculous, but true.
And here's something interesting. Did you guys know that Jeff Bezos donated $100 million to Van Jones? Did you hear about that?
I did not either.
He donated $100 million out of nowhere to Van Jones. And this other guy who is a chef, who is his mission is to end world hunger. So he donated $100 million to him as well for his cause. And he told them both to, here's $100 million, do with it what you want to, literally. And I, and when I, upon hearing this, I'm like, that's amazing, you know. But when you think of how much wealth Jeff Bezos has, he could literally end world hunger himself. And it wouldn't even be a fourth of his fortune to do it. So.
But why would he do that? That's very rhetorical. But.
I mean, I know, but I'm just saying, if he really cared, as he is trying to show, then he would make sure, one, that his employees are safe. Because I don't know about you guys, but I've seen countless videos of employees that have recorded the working conditions in the Amazon warehouses, how there's no AC, how people are passing out, and they still are working. This woman, she either twisted her ankle or did something, but she broke something, and they wouldn't let her leave. She still stood
there on a broken foot
or whatever it was, you know, because she had to work. So I'm like, so if he cares about mankind, as he's trying to demonstrate, I guess, why not make sure your employees are well taken care of? I mean, they're working for you. So if you care about people so much, why not start with home? and your employees. I mean, that to me, it just doesn't make sense. And Van Jones was on CNN talking about it.
He
was just speechless that he gave him $100 million to do with what he wants to. He said, Jeff Bezos says that we need unifiers, not vilifiers. What does that say to you guys?
It says water seeks its own level. So Jeff Bezos, again, at this point, he can throw money at almost any problem and, you know, kind of get it rectified. He doesn't have to get his own hands dirty. But on the surface, it looks great. But money people are only about their money and gravitating towards other people that have that type of money. So when you ask those questions, like if he wanted to end world hunger, he doesn't care about any of that. Most of the time, people that have that kind of money need people to be in the positions that they're in order to generate that money. Because guess what? If you don't have a car, if you don't have a job, if you don't have anything, you still have internet. Have you ever noticed that? I've seen homeless people with a cell phone, which means you can take whatever $5 you got and order something from Amazon. You can get a damn baby on Amazon. You can get a car. You can order an exorcism. There ain't nothing you can't get on Amazon. And so he needs everyone to do that. If he, it's like with all the billions he has, if he gave everybody on the planet $10, guess what? He wouldn't have the money anymore. He can't be that free and forthcoming with his money. I know for people to say, oh, for him to be a great philanthropist and to be remembered as such, he would have to do X, Y, and Z. That's not his goal. His goal is to make all he's making and keep it. You know what I mean? It's the truth. So that's, you know, so it's just one of those things. You know, could he help? Yeah, but why? You know, that's not his MO, even though he wants it to look like that. His job is to keep as much money in his pocket as he can. And if that means donating to a certain cause or whatever, he can do that and catch a break and things like that. But all of that money stays in their particular group, I promise you. So, you know.
And that brings up another one. But hold on, Cedric has a comment. He says he doesn't want idolism. He'd rather be behind the scenes. He said, cut to him, they work for the fruits of their labor. They can tend for themselves. And I guess he said money lives with money. Broke has no place in their world. And you know what?
Word.
That's a powerful statement. 100. That is a very powerful statement. And so so true.
Okay, ask yourself, how many billionaires have you sat down and had dinner with on a regular basis? How many millionaires have you? And, I mean, maybe we have and don't know it and all that. I know of one, and we meet regularly, and that individual is willing to share what he knows. And so that is going to, you know, elevate me. But you can't, if you don't have that kind of money, you can't really make someone that kind of money. You can't help them get that way. How are you going to teach me to fish if you don't have a pole? But if someone's on the other end of the bank reeling them in, guess what? I want to sit at the table with you. So we know people that are doing well, have decent jobs and things like that. Very few of us actually know on a first name basis, have their phone number, can meet up for dinner with them. Someone who's got substantial income, wealth, whatever you want to call it. We don't. We might be like, oh, my boy's balling. No. How many multi-millionaires do you really know on a first-name basis? Not that you see or that you walk by, that you know on a personal level in your phone. And most of us are going to say none. Because, like my man Cedric is saying, I think we agree that when I said water seeks its level, you're not their level. If you're not their level, they don't have anything to do with you. You can work for me. You can help continue to build my dream, but I'm not going to do that in reverse. But if all of a sudden you had something to offer, like, again, Bezos meets with guys like Gates. Those guys meet with other people that have that kind of wealth. They're not going to meet with your eyes. They're going to send whoever's their flunky to tell you what to do to help continue to make them that money. Again,
right.
Henry Ford once said, I'd rather get 1% effort off 100 people than give 100% of my own effort. And that's where he got so wealthy. And that model has been followed time and time again by super rich. They'll take 1% from you. And so to answer your question about why Bezos doesn't give a shit about people at Amazon is because, you know what, if you quit, there are 10 people waiting to take your spot at that machine. I know it sucks, but it's true. He's actually using the old school Chinese sweatshop technology, or technique rather, because that's all they did. You don't want the job? Move over. Somebody else will come and do it. Because they're dying to get their family from wherever, whatever situation they're in, over to this country where that so-called horrible condition is 100 times better than the shit they live in their country. And he knows it. And he'll have a high turnover because he knows there are thousands of people waiting to do that job. I didn't say anything about being legal. I didn't say anything about educated, whatever. It's just he knows his company will never go under as long as there's someone trying to make money to get their family in a better position. And that's why he doesn't have to end world hunger or give everybody a dollar or give a shit if Beulah twisted her ankle. Sorry. True. It just is what it is. I mean, you know.
Right.
It's sad, sad, but true. And I know, what's up? What's up, Mo?
Cedric has posed a good question. He said, ask yourself this. How much money is rich when you can buy anything? And how you know you're broke? Is it because that you can't afford or just want to afford it?
Nice. Okay. Which I got.
We need to get a person that has that kind of money on the line to answer that kind of question. Because we know what being broke feels like.
Mm-hmm.
We can tell you about that. But if we were in positions where we've never been in that position, then it's really hard to answer that question. Because if you really got it, then really it's just about... If they ain't never, you know, come on, you got to start from somewhere. You have to have start from zero to get to that point. And it took a special kind of grind to get to that point. So I guess I can say that they've been there at some point, or either they saw their parents struggling and was like, that's not going to be me, and I'm going up the ladder, and they just brought everybody up with them, their family. You know?
Yeah. I think what's interesting is, have you ever heard a rich person go, I'm rich? You never have you? You know what they always say? Oh, we're comfortable. Hey, you cocksucker. You know you're loaded. But the thing is, what is considered rich? Because remember, the dollar, the value of the dollar now versus 1970 versus 1940, it's very, very different. I mean, we base it on inflation here, but we also base it on the foreign market and world trade. So that being said, people oftentimes say, you know, I'm doing okay. Okay, so my personal opinion, again, I can't speak for anyone else. I think, like you said, we've all been a little less than, you know, comfortable. And what that means is I feel like one of the biggest differences between people that, you know, are affluent or well-to-do or rich or whatever you want to call it and people that have to kind of watch their, you know, count their coppers is exactly that. Rich people don't look at the bill. They don't ask what the price tag is. If it's something that their heart desires or someone they love, they go get it. Just do it because they know they can afford it.
Let me tell you something. I'm not rich by any stretch of the imagination, right?
Uh-huh.
But I don't look at the right side of the menu either. If I want something, I'm just going to get it. If I know that I cannot afford to be in a specific type of restaurant, if I have Burger King money, I am not going to Papa Do's to eat. That's just the bottom line.
And that's my point, though. You may know before you go in, like, you know what, this week was kind of tight at work. So you already know in my mind, I got BK money. If you know you're paid and there's not much that comes on a menu or with a price tag that you can't afford, you're going to walk into Caesar's Palace and just start pointing shit out because you know no matter what the price tag, you've got it. People that are like, look, I've only got $300 for 2 weeks. You already know. I don't know if you want to get your nails done, but you also got to put gas in your car. And every other day, at least you've got to eat. There's one of the biggest differences, in my opinion. I mean, we could always get to house size and car and vacation, but you know what? You can take an extravagant vacation if you plan properly. You can get the kind of vehicle you want if you want to make the payments. So that doesn't say a whole lot. But just, again, not even giving it a second thought because, again, working class or not so rich people always check their wallets before they check their availability. People with money always check their calendar before they check anything. So if something good is going to happen or some or purchase or whatever, they go, let me see what kind of time I have on my schedule. They never go, let me see how much money I've got. That's the biggest difference. People that don't
you know
have
what?
A lot of money
I'm
always.
I'm going to speak it. I think I'm on my way to being extremely filthy rich because I don't do nothing without my calendar.
Fair enough.
I think I'm on my way to setting myself up.
Look. If Mimi, if you manage your time like that, like your bank book, baby, then yeah, you got it. That means you're never going to miss where a dollar is going. Now, you're a self-professed shopaholic, though. like reach your family.
Like that, you know, all these little rich outlines, all these little bullets. That's me. I'm on my way.
Hey, there it is. And then see, at some point, Mimi's gonna be like, get those. They cost, get those. And see, that's when you know. When you just shake your hand, go get them. Did I ask you what it cost? Go get my shit. That's when you know.
Look,
that's when you know.
We will all be in one studio once a week flying in. And I don't know if it's going to be at George's house.
let me tell you why. That's
not
a bad
I ain't
look.
Got no chairs.
Let me tell you why that's
you.
A bad look. Because every time I'm at George's house, we go through a lot of alcohol, and the convo always gets rowdy. Which, speaking of which, G, I'll be there next week.
Hey,
I'll be there next week.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, sir.
But you know what? Those days are coming. Those days are coming.
Oh,
we're
it's going to be on.
Later, trust. Those days are coming.
Yeah.
No. But no, you know, let me throw this out there though too, and this is a God, honest God truth. There's really very few filthy rich is almost an opinion. There's very few that are actually filthy rich. Filthy rich means you ain't got to do nothing, you ain't got to move nothing, you ain't got to worry about nothing. You ain't got to worry about this business, you ain't got to worry about that business, you ain't got to worry about nothing. Because the reason I say that is because even what we consider rich people, they go broke too. You
they
know,
go broke too.
And part of, you know, one of my favorite sayings is everybody goes broke, but staying broke is your fault.
Right.
You know, rich people go broke.
Okay.
They just broke with more shit. You know what I'm saying? For real.
They
go broke too. They go broke where they just ain't got the extra money to do some things sometimes. But
they still got to make sure that wheel is still going forward though.
They still got to keep everything rolling. They still got to make sure this business is rolling and that business is rolling
right.
And this dollar is doing this dollar and this dollar is doing that dollar. When you
that's
stop
right.
having to worry about that, then you're filthy rich. And there are some people that could be in that status. You know what I'm saying? All these billionaires out there, you're a fucking billionaire. Why are you still working? Why are you even bother to have
but,
a business? Just cash
I'm
that
answer
down.
That.
That thing going. That's right.
I'm going to answer that only because I know he's not a billionaire. He may be soon. This gentleman's in his 30s, by the way. And here's what we talk about all the time. You have to watch your money. You have to work to keep your money because other people are trying to get your money. So like you said, yeah, George, if you got money that's making money, that's how they stay rich. Their money actually works. They don't work their money.
Right.
And that's an amazing right. thing. And when you start to learn and figure out how to do that, you think differently. Well, that being said, Even then, it starts to become almost an obsession where they're going, okay, I don't want to only make money here and here, but I want to make it here, here, and here. They never want that wheel to stop rolling, like you said. The interesting thing about it is what my new favorite phrase, which has been for about 4 or 5, 6 months now, is millionaires lose thousands to become millionaires. Billionaires lose millions to become billionaires. Broke people don't want to lose shit but want to be rich. Think about that. Because we don't have the extra expendable income. Broke people don't want to risk anything. But then you wonder, how did he get rich? He took a chance. High risk, high reward. It's something that we can't afford to do most of the time because we haven't been in that position. But the people that do, they take that high risk. You know, sometimes it pays off, sometimes it doesn't.
Wait a minute, that's just like, I got a prime example on a small scale. I got a friend, right? And we would go to the boat. And I would pay $20. And I'm done. When it's done, I'm done. He would literally stand in between two slot machines with $500 each in each hand and just pump them into the machine and sit there and hit the buttons. Nonstop.
Until
the button.
Until when?
And next thing you know, he hit 10,000.
High risk.
But I'm not gonna put $500 in each machine and keep pumping the button until the motherfucker rings. Fuck that.
But that's
I'm gonna put 20 in this bitch. I'm gonna put 20 in this bitch and call it done.
But see, we all want to do that. That's the thing. Middle class people, because we go to work every day, we do what they call the honest living. So blue collar people, which is what 95% of the world is, I consider blue collar. You're not poor, but shit, you damn sure can't like just quit work and not go. That being said, we work too hard, so we go, shit, I'm not giving them my money unless you're having fun. We have a designated number we're going to go with, and that designated number is usually $40, $20, $100. And if you win, cool. If not, you get you some free drinks. When you're willing to lose, that your friend is, I guarantee you, he's willing to lose 2 racks on any given day.
No.
So yes. So he has 5 and 5. He's willing to lose 2 racks with no problem. He's got that set up. But he's also prepared to get that 10G. And it's just one of those, sometimes it happens, sometimes it doesn't. We all want to be the ones to go put a dollar in and hit the jackpot because you read about that in the newspaper. Shit ain't going to happen. Shit just ain't going to happen. But again, the gambling thing is kind of it's a small example like George said, because it is. It's high risk, high reward. You're willing to risk $1,000, but he made $10K. Now here's the thing. I'll guarantee you he's lost quite a bit. But it kind of evens out. I've heard that from gamblers. If I'm going to gamble, I'm going to do it on the market or something like that. I mean, don't get me wrong. I go with my sisters on occasion just to jack around, but I'm not serious about it. But that's not my sport of choice. You know, it just kind of is what it is. But if you look at that in the sense of self-made millionaires, business owners, things like that. They took chances. They took big risks. Mortgaged their houses, took out loans, borrowed from friends. Sometimes it worked out. A lot of times it doesn't. But most everyone that you see that's got a huge, net worth, they took a really big chance in the beginning. So all that to say, for all of us on here, family, you got to step out your comfort zone, take some risks, take some chances. Make them calculated. But if you really, really want to get paid, you cannot be comfortable, and you're not going to do that shit in an 8-hour workday. That's why my eyes look like stop signs right now, because this time next year, it's going to be like that for your boy. I'm just letting y'all know. I mean, you can't tell me shit now, but when I got a bigger bank account, you really ain't going to tell me shit. When I had these commas, listen, I'm driving around Vegas butt naked in my newer car. It's hot enough, shit. It's all good. But check it. Real quick, I don't know how much, like I said, I kind of been off the steam for a little bit. I've been popping in and out. But for those that don't know, Crystal, you or George, you want to kind of brief everybody on what we've got coming up next year in case some people want to travel.
Yeah. Oh, George, I'll let you go ahead and brief everyone.
Hit him up, G.
Well, I mean, you know, we got our show that we're doing with Mitch Pyron next year, April 2nd, Panama City Beach, Florida. We're expecting big things to come out of that. West Palm Beach, correct. Stand corrected. It's like last week you kept saying Miami. West Palm Beach. And, you know, we're looking for some big things with that. And then following, we will be going on a four-night cruise to Haiti. Now, that sounds scary, seeing as how the president of Haiti just got assassinated. But we're not going to that part of Haiti. where we're actually going is an island that the Royal Caribbean owns. It's a private island. It just happens to be in the borders of Haiti. So it's in Haiti, but it's not in the where all the political stuff is going on and the wars and the fighting and the all that good stuff. So we won't have to deal with any of that. But
we're thankful for that.
So anybody interested in joining us on that nice little cruise will be, you're welcome. You can just reach out to us and we can get you that information and we can get you booked on the same cruise and it'll be all good.
Crystal,
did you send that info to Mimi, by the way?
Oh, crap. I forgot.
That means no.
Don't forget me. I'm sorry. I've been in 20 zillion different directions this week. I will send that to you now, Mimi.
Okay.
The hookup, George and his travel agent, all they have, it's pretty good, too. It's a really good deal. So if they're still shooting that, it's definitely worthwhile because by the time we do the show and then set sail, I can only imagine what's going to happen in the next, like, 8 months. We're going to be killing the game. So, you know.
Here's a plan I got that because there's a two-day gap. You know, the show is on the 2nd. And the boat leaves on the 4th. Mm-hmm. So, in those 2 days...
Plan a week off.
Yeah, definitely. Week off.
Oh, yeah.
But in the two-day gap, my plan was to be in Universal Studios. The theme park.
After we get through hosting, I'm going where the best party's going to be, where the greatest invites are going to be, and that's where we're going. So after we get through MCing that night, it's all up, baby. It's all up.
What's a Mimi?
Hey!
Need I say more?
No, not at all. You are good.
You're welcome.
Whoa. I can't do the same thing. I was drinking on some water with some kind of powder in it.
That could be a whole lot of things.
And then I poured a vitamin C powder pack thingy in it. I'm just
that shit goes well with vodka too, I promise you.
I'm feeling tangerine-ish tonight. I just felt like some orange. I wanted orange everything. My drink had to be orange. My little outfit orange. I'm wearing something
other than
black because I'm always wearing black. So I escalated to orange.
You look at citrusy, girl. You look at citrusy. That'll go well when we get to Florida.
Yes, it will.
Ah, ain't that some shit? Got to do
it. Get on there.
Responding to George off air. It's okay. So next week, unfortunately, George and I are going to be drinking together again. You guys are welcome ahead of time. Matter of fact, I don't know. I got to see what time I get in, George. I might be lying to you, but I think I get in early, so we'll do that. And I got to start working on my travel plans, but like you said, I've been busting it because when I'm going to finish this year out going 100 miles an hour, because I'm trying to tell y'all, I got a lot of traveling to do. I'm traveling quite a bit. This second half of this year, I'm traveling like 5 times. I mean, I'm not just talking about in the U.S., but I'm talking about, you know, internationally, overseas. So we got to get stories. So, you know, guys, pray for you, boy. I'm bringing my Afro wig to Florida when we come next year.
Well,
just make sure you get your
Afro wig. I'm like, are you going to grow it out? What are you doing?
Oh, hell no. I need to be able to take my hair off. Like I said, I have an understanding for my sisters that have to go through, my ladies have to go through acting and movies and things where you got to do, have different looks and all that, because if I'm just jacking around doing a character or something like that, I like to take that hat off and hang it up, shit, just because it's hair. My afro needs a chin strap. I'm wilding with it.
Wow. Well, Cedric said that he's going to try to make the trip.
Hey, brother, we would absolutely love it if you would be there. You could be one of the guests of honor, man. You've been riding with us for a while. I would love nothing more than for us to meet you and hang, because this cat always has great questions, great commentary. I love his energy. So if you can make it, Ced, man, that would be excellent, boss. It would be excellent.
And the sooner you book it, you can book it, the better, because traveling prices are cheap right now. We only paid $300 a person for that cruise.
Send me the info again,
okay,
George.
So,
I saw it.
Do you have like a number of slots or something that we can call in and pay, or how is it set up, George?
Oh, if you just look at the information, it's got our reservation number on it. It also has the cruise and the cruise line, the which boat, all that information is on there. So you can just either go through the same people we went through, which the name is on there. You can go through the same people we went through to get it, or book it a different way, but at least with that information, you know which boat to get on, what boat to get. And it's with Royal Caribbean, so don't go getting goddamn Carnival or something like that, and we ain't going to be together.
Hey, if you've ever been on a cruise, you know when you pass each other, there's always a couple of ships that pass each other slowly,
right,
so everybody can
wave,
making goofy and shit, like the Disney cruise will pass, like the Royal Caribbean. And you go,
exactly.
I swear, every time I've been on a cruise, it's true. So we'll do that. But I don't want to be like, George, I'm supposed to be there. Catch me. Fuck that. Because he ain't going to put his drink down to catch me, raggedy bastard.
Heck no. I don't even think he's going to notice that you're waving.
I'll be like, hey, Robin, you're wrong, bro. Just jump. Look at you.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm gonna check it out probably tonight, tomorrow, and start setting mine up. I'm going to go ahead and knock it on out. Because I got a bunch of trips I got to pay for, a couple of them ain't cheap. But, yeah.
You know, with all the cruise lines picking back up, them cruise prices are going back up. You know,
yeah,
so.
Yeah, right.
And catch them while it's cheap. Get it while it's hot.
Yep, I'm about to jump in. Now, when you, if George, for everybody who is listening, if you lock in a price, I know you can make payments and you can pay it in full. Can you lock in a price today?
If
or will it go
money,
up? No, I mean, will it go up if you say, okay, I'm going to agree to this, I'm going to take this trip, I want to make my first payment today. If you do that, will your price go up, or are you locked in at that price?
No, you're locked in. You're locked in at that price.
All right, y'all hear that, family?
That's why we always do it today.
Yeah,
right.
That's why we always do it that way. We'll find it. We'll watch it, and prices will go up and down, up and down, up and down. Then eventually we'll just pick one. and lock it in.
There you go.
Make that first payment.
Well,
you lock it in. It's a done deal.
All right. So we hear that. Everybody, check it out. See what's jerking.
The bad thing is, if you're anything like my wife, she'll go in there every other day looking at the cruise, like looking at the cruise reservation, and then she'll start looking at other shit. And then she'll start looking at other shit and start buying excursions and shit. We already got the jet ski excursion. We already got the ripcord excursion. She just buying shit after we done bought the liquor package.
I know you have. I'm coming to y'all room. No, I'm gonna have one. Trust me.
The liquor package alone is, but see, that's where stuff starts going up. See, like the liquor package alone is like $300 per person. But it's all you can drink. It's the bottom of the barrel. You can get whatever, all of it, everything. Is you don't pay for nothing to drink. You know,
for four days you can go through some shit.
Hey, wait.
Oh,
look, let me tell you the first time. Let me tell you
$300 worth of shit in one day.
Let me tell you the first time I got the liquor package. I went in there with the wrong mindset. I'm like, oh, they done fucked up. They done gave the wrong motherfucker free reign at a bar. Y'all done lost y'all mind. $300, I can drink all like a drink.
And then you learned.
Y'all about to learn, didn't you? My thought was, y'all about to be broke up in this bitch. Nah, nigga.
You can't drink what they got.
Hey. I knew every bartender by name. They knew me by name. When they see me coming, they already had my shit poured by the time I got to the bar. When I tell you, I walked on that boat at 12 noon on a Monday. By Tuesday night, I was pissing liquor. I'm telling you, when I woke up Wednesday, I didn't want nothing to do with alcohol. You couldn't get me near alcohol.
Yeah, you went hard, boy. You went hard.
You had that one-liner that everybody has. I ain't never taken it
again. Hey, I'm telling you, by Wednesday, I didn't, all of Wednesday and all of Thursday, two straight days, I didn't drink nothing but water and orange juice. That was it. Water and orange juice for two straight days because I drank so much on Monday and Tuesday the first 2 days. Man, you couldn't get me near alcohol.
You got to moderate, brother.
Oh, I moderated all right.
You got to moderate, my man.
I'm telling you, those first 2 days, you did not see me without a drink in my hand. And they put a limit on it. They put a time limit on it. You can only go... You can only go every 15 minutes.
Damn, you gotta go sooner than that.
I thought every 15 minutes. I said, hey. I was like, man, that's horrible. Every 15 minutes, like clockwork, I was at a bar. Every 15 minutes,
you might need a 12-step program. You might or might not. I think, you know, for real.
Let me tell you, that I got to doing the math. I got to think about it. And I said, that's four drinks an hour. You're pouring four drinks an hour. Four drinks an hour. In 1 hour, four drinks. Think about it. You go out to the nightclub, you might have five or six drinks the whole night. I was doing four drinks an hour for 2 days straight.
So you were drinking like somebody bet you couldn't, fool. Like it was a contest.
Right. Exactly. That's what I said. I walked on the boat with the wrong mindset. I was tripping.
Yeah, you were. You were hard to
play, boy.
That
day. You know how the song
goes?
You learn today.
I'm
going to
tell you what my secret was. I did the same thing as you. I had a drink before I went on the boat. But, and then they won't let you take alcohol on unless it's wine and certain things. But we'll talk about that off the air, you know. That being said, I already knew I was going to be doing it during most of the day. You find the track, the weight room, the hot tub, anything that you can sweat the liquor out so that you can start fresh on the next session. Now, I know, George, you was a hooper, but I know you ain't going to run around the track and all that other bullshit, but you got to get it out, man. You got to get it out. That's why you didn't want it by Wednesday. It's a marathon, not a sprint. And I'm a sprinter, so trust me on that.
Hey, look. I wasn't running nan tracks. I wasn't lifting nan weights. That sound like work. This is all pleasure, no work.
Z, because here's the thing on cruises. I know we've all been, for people that haven't though, the first night's kind of a meet and greet. They're going to party you and drink you to death. You're going to meet. You're going to do goofy shit like limbo, you know, the Macarena shit like that. You're going to have a good time. After that, you're on your own. Now, the thing is, you're going to be drinking the whole time. So do yourself a favor and wake up in time to go to breakfast and take your ass for a jog or go shoot some hoops or whatever. You will then be able to drink like an adult the whole time. Let's not be like our brother George Holman and be fucking tapped out at hour 48 and not make it the rest of the trip. Because
Tuesday night, they had to escort me to my room.
Come on, man.
The rest of the ship, I walk past security. They'd be like, hi, George, how you doing today? I'm fine. Thank you.
Listen, in school, the teachers remember the really good kids and the really bad kids. So, see, they knew your name, dog. It's no different than when people come to Vegas. They come in on like a Thursday or Friday and go hard in the paint. And then they wonder why when they wake up on Saturday, shut the fuck down and have to recover till Sunday. Live and learn. I try to tell people, live and learn. You got to pace yourself.
Hey, but since then, I'm a professional at it now. I'm a professional. I know which drink to get and which not to drink. So you get the hard drink, then you go back and you get the fruity drink. Then you go back and get the hard drink.
Well.
Then you go back and get the fruity drink.
And then you get some water. Hey,
and then you eat a lot. Which I have no problem eating a lot.
Now, the Buffett, that's it. But what you got, CB?
Well, for those who are just joining us, you're listening to CB and the Voice. So we're going to pause for the pause. Again, welcome to CB and the Boys. You're listening to CB and the Boys. I'm CB. We come to you every week for your midweek motivator on every Wednesday. You can find us on multiple platforms, Blog Talk Radio, which is where you are originally listening to us. You can also find us on iHeartRadio. And we need you to go to that platform, like us and subscribe. And also go to Blog Talk Radio, like us and subscribe. You can also find us broadcasting live on Beagle Live every Wednesday as well. And feel free to jump in on Beagle, chime in, come vibe with us. It's a mood. You'll enjoy it. We have fun. So definitely give that a try. But also you can see our YouTube channel. And we need you to go to our YouTube channel and like us and subscribe, as well as our Facebook channel, like us and subscribe. So the moral of the story is you need to like CB and the Boys, subscribe to CB and the Boys, follow CB and the Boys, because we do have an Instagram channel as well, which is CB and the Boys Radio Show. So go to all of these platforms, and we have a Twitter, CB and the Boys. So go to all of these social media platforms. Google us if you can't remember the name. Like us and subscribe. One more time for the folks in the back. Like us and subscribe. We appreciate you. We love that you love us. Your love and support has meant the world to us. But we're not done yet. So you guys need to like us and subscribe. I cannot stress that enough. So,
hey, Crystal, do they like us and subscribe?
Yes. They must like us and subscribe. 7 people on YouTube already like us and have subscribed.
In that order or what?
So we need 70 more.
right.
Like us and subscribe. Bottom line.
Like us, subscribe.
Subscribe
and like us. George is going to enter the wet t-shirt contest to influence y'all.
All right.
Oh, shit.
And for our first 100 subscribers, Roger will drive down the street buck naked in a new car. You don't want
I'm
going to
do that,
that
anyway, but if you guys want me to do that, if you guys want me to do that with every new car I get, I'm fine with that. I will. Listen, I'm a team player. I do what I got to do for my family. You know, we got to eat. So if we make it to 100, we'll make that happen.
Yep.
I just can't. I got to get rid of my tan lines and shit. You know how it is.
Oh my god.
You got to.
Hey, listen. You have the forehead.
Hey. I'll tell you what.
No, because I haven't. I've been in the sun. I haven't been wearing my hat, but like the farmer's tan with the arms and all that shit because of the short sleeve shirt. Yeah. So now I got to go to like a private track and then take everything off and then do my workout and then come back, you know, and be all bronzed and shit. George is gonna throw up in his mouth right now, but we're not talking to him.
Hey, look. I tell you what, we get 2,000 subscribers. We get 2,000 subscribers. I'll run through a Chiefs game streak like a streaker. I'll dunk off, butt naked.
I got bail money, baby. I got bail money. Luckily, I got a homeboy that works down there, so he might let you get through the tunnel, but I'm not promising.
I got access. I'll get to the field.
No, it's getting off the damn field. That's gonna be the problem.
I'll run. Hey, I'll run butt naked across the 50-yard line in the middle of the Chiefs Raiders game.
George, you had a motorcycle accident. You got a bad knee, motherfucker. You better get ahead and start and wait till like halftime.
I'll do one better. I bet. All right, if we get 100, our first 100 subscribers, I dare you guys to run around the ship on the cruise buck ass naked. I dare.
No, you're trying to get folks arrested. Next thing you know, our boys will be
right. I need to not be incarcerated for the duration of the cruise. Now,
not
don't get me wrong. There's some other shit that can be done, but you know, look, we got a lot of desert open area out here. And the key with me is always wet ass naked anyway. So, you know, they call me Nature Boy, so it'll be like that sometimes. I just got to have a little sunblock on certain areas and all that kind of thing, so, you know.
Oh,
I got y'all, though. Listen, for those of y'all that are going to make it out next year, we're going to have something set up. It's going to be live, like I said. And, you know, Florida's down for that kind of thing anyway, so trust me, we'll be in there.
Yeah. All right. It's time for a music break. So here's a song to get you moving and grooving. And it'll take you back to your childhood. Here we go.
Let's go. Let's go.
It's peanut butter jelly time. Peanut butter jelly time. Peanut butter jelly time.
George, what's wrong with your
yes.
cousin? Just what's wrong with your cousin, dog? Like,
I don't know.
You realize?
I don't know.
No, mental illness.
That's not,
mental illness
that's
runs
not
in the family,
cousin.
Fam.
That's not my cousin. It's an imposter. It's an imposter.
Mental illness runs
it's,
in the family,
we got
dog.
We had a case of invasion of the body snatchers.
Look, let me tell y'all something. Any song is better than the song. Any song is better than the
yeah.
song.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, let me next song will redeem myself.
That's funny.
All right, this next one will redeem myself. So here we go.
Thank you. understand what I'm talking about? Let me hear you say yeah. Let me hear you say yeah, yeah, yeah. Let me hear you say yeah.
The legendary Tina Marie and Ooh La La La. Did I take y'all?
Heck yeah. Heck yeah.
That is the song.
The countdown. I love it.
That's a new feature.
I just went live.
Because I was able to capture the audio, but there's some echoes from somewhere.
Uh-oh.
Well, it's not me.
I'm all the way muted. Not me.
I muted mine. George, move the picture.
Hospital?
I can't see anyone.
A picture being gone. What are you talking about?
Echoing.
No, it's still on mine.
Well, you froze in. It's been gone.
Let me reload. Let's see.
Oh, Raj, 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 up in Mishmashu, like I do. I'm sorry. My
oh,
bad.
Shit. Remix.
Nigga, how did you get me? I don't understand. It's been a long month. I'm trying to tell you. It has been a long month. But it's been...
You guys know what? So my friend asked me to bring him lunch today, right? So I went to this restaurant. And, okay, all he wanted was two chimichangas. Two chimichangas were $32.
What?
Yeah, two chimichangas,
okay.
$32. So I
said,
so before we get into it, particulars. Give us particulars, because I already know
right. That
this is about to go left quick as shit.
Can you hear us okay? Is there sound now? Hopefully. Anyway,
yeah.
So two chimichangas. Awesome. Two chimichangas was $32. So I messaged him back. I was like, dude, I wouldn't pay these prices for myself to eat alone. And I love myself. So what the hell? I was like, do you want like some Del Taco or Taco Bell, like some affordable lunch? Like, I'm not paying $32 for two chimichangas. That's ridiculous. I mean,
heck nah.
Was it like was it special? Like who was cooking it? Was Guy Fieri or Gordon Ryan cooking it, like wearing a thong or something? I'm just trying to figure out why chimichangas cost that much. And
Roger,
my next question
let me tell you something. With $32, I can go to the store, I can get some chicken, rice, beans, plantain.
I know.
You get a whole meal for that.
I know.
Two freaking chunks go take it to the bathroom, and then it's over. You know how pissed I would be?
So I'm trying to figure out why. Why, like, was it what restaurant? Who was cooking? I'm just trying to get the particulars before I go on my tirade.
Well, the name of the restaurant was called Arriba. Arriba Mexican Grill. Now, we've eaten there before, my daughter and I. We've had the food before. You know, I've bought it for my kids. And it did not cost nearly that. You know, that's how much we spend when it's just me and the kids. So I'm like, how are two chimichangas $32 for one person? That's ridiculous.
It has to be like really thick, big something, like with a bunch of all kinds of meals in it. What is it?
Girl,
what is
I think you say that's all the food.
Unfortunately,
no.
I will never know because I wasn't paying for that. And he was like, well, I'll just pay for it. I was like, you would have to because I'm not.
Yeah,
I don't either.
I don't 32
either.
Bucks for two chimichangas, like that chimichanga should have, it should have sparks coming out of it and a receipt for a $25 refund. I'm just not getting it, but that's me. I'm just not getting it.
A chimichanga should have a job.
So, was he testing you? What was it? Was it a test? Was he testing you? Was he just trying to figure out if you would do it? What's up?
Well, if it was a test, then he found that I wasn't the one. I wouldn't pay those prices for myself, and I love myself.
But not just for that. Like, dinner is one thing, dinner or lunch or whatever, but just, again, we're talking to chimichanga. We got to shout out Goldie. How you doing, sweetheart? I see you on the message. Thank you for hanging with us. How you been, my love? I know we've kind of been hitting this for a while, so thank you for hanging in there and checking us out. But
be with us on the cruise, too.
Oh, it's kid Goldie. You don't want that problem. You don't want that, girl. What happens on this ship stays on the ship until George tells everybody. I love it. I cannot wait to meet you, my lady. We love our family. Can't wait to meet you. But back to your two $413 chimichangas. First of all, I think we all know what ordering from the fucking side of the menu is. That doesn't even qualify because the chimichangas. That alone means, all right, look, man, we can grab these on the way to the crib. But the fact that it was lunch, it was two of them. Okay, were they wrapped in gold foil? Well, Goldie, see, certain things you shouldn't say, baby. Like, I'm all in. Come on. You know how cruises go. We ain't brand new. And
let me tell you something. I think Goldie over there is all about the shit, okay?
Baby girl, hey, my baby is like, I'm all in. Listen, we all are veterans, I'll call us, seasoned, and I'm a professional drinker, as is George. So I don't know about anybody else, but you can't put me at sea. And, yeah, I even got
like
a couple of language going there.
I can hold it down. I can hold it down for a little bit.
I can't wait. That's going to be fantastic. Thank you for hanging with us and coming. I cannot wait to hang with you, my love. But these chimichangas are killing me. Because here's the thing. That's not fucking side of the menu food, but the price is kind of working its way towards that, especially if it's lunch. See, you have a different number for lunch and for dinner. For lunch, yeah, that's you damn near asking for a nooner. For 32 bucks for two chimichangas, shit. I need to walk up to me wearing an apron, butt naked, like, and you could have a grilled cheese or anything at that point, but I'm just trying to figure out what this restaurant's about. I'm just trying to understand. Because, you know, between you, me, and the walls, hell no.
Yeah. I thought it was the most ridiculous thing, and he was just talking about it like it was just second nature. He was like, no, it shouldn't be any more than 30 bucks. I said, you know it's going to be this high? He's like, no.
For lunch? Come on. We all know the lunch menu gets kind of pulled down a little bit. It's kind of like, you know, being on the B team. That's JV instead. That's what I mean.
In that instance, to me, it's not about being broke or not having. It's about using common sense. And I'm sorry, but to pay $32 for two chimichangas is insane. That's just my opinion.
Let me tell you guys, and I'll say it. I don't know how many times I'll say it. All of the people that I know that are wealthy or very, you know, well-to-do, affluent, are all very frugal. So when people look at you like, oh, you must be broke and all that, don't believe that bullshit. Because rich people are so tight that if you put a lump of coal up their ass, you would get a diamond out. That's why they get and stay rich. They're not frivolous. They're not all over the place and spend their money willing to get. So for you to make that comment, I'm not going to get into that because I think we've all kind of been in an industry where we were underappreciated. So I do believe in paying for good service. I have no problem with it. I love good service. It makes me happy. But that being said, there's still a fine line between being foolish just because you can and being, you know, smart with your money. $32 for two chimichangas will never make sense. Ever. So, and you can have $1 billion, but it just doesn't compute. It doesn't add up. So, you know.
Exactly. And there was no way that I was going to come off of $32 for two chimichangas. And I told him he was crazy. If he was going to pay 30-some dollars for two chimichangas, I'm like, what kind of chimichangas are these? Like, I'm sorry.
Well,
even
now,
if they were made of gold,
no, wait, hold on. Now, here's my question to you. If you delivered the chimichangas, what was your tip going to be, girl? Oh, shit, now. Let him use you. See, that's the look. I mean, don't get me wrong. I still wouldn't have paid for the chimichangas, but you should have done a suitable substitute and made him perform. Come on. Chris, come on. We've talked. We've met. Come on now. If the reward was going to be it would have had to be some A dangus. He would have had to use some A-grade dangus. Don't come with no C dangus at lunchtime. But if you'd have showed up with the chimichangas, come on now. That might have been worth it. Look. We all pay for it in some way.
No.
How much you think? Okay, we're going to be grown for a minute, y'all. What the hell y'all think gas and hotel rooms and dinner and flowers and shit cost us? Now, if you know for a fact you're going to get some worthwhile grade-A dangus, get those goddamn chimichangas. But if you're just taking them lunch, how you doing, friend, kiss and go home, then, you know, fuck it. Go to El Pollo Loco. I'm just saying, we have to weigh our options here.
Next Saturday, I get treated to dinner and a movie and dessert. So, you know, and that's going to be probably well over $32 for sure.
Take him to chimichangas. $32
for two chimichangas to bring a guy lunch. Those are love prices. Those are like, I'm in love.
No,
you might have been in love with the chimichangas.
To feed this man.
Those are multiple orgasm prices. There's a difference, baby. Those are not love prices. Those are called multiple orgasm prices. I know the difference because we've all paid for them. So I'm just saying, once you get into that range, you got to tell them, listen, if I don't come more than twice, that's an IOU, and you don't get a tip, fucker. I mean, usually you got to be real with it. Because at our age,
so you would pay $32 for two chimichangas to take a woman to lunch or whatever. You would pay $32.
No.
You realize that's just for one person.
You're missing the point. You're missing the point. The $32 is for two chimichangas that are going to sit on the countertop while we produce the two, three, or multiple orgasms, and then he's going to reheat those motherfuckers. So what it boils down to is take the man to lunch, take an extended lunch, and then wear something nice, because let's just say if it was me. If it was me, I'm answering the door in a bath towel going, thank you for lunch. Put that shit over there. Now, I hope you didn't get your hair done recently because I'm about to mess that shit up. You're welcome. There's a difference. It's just a test. It's just a test.
The same way you guys do it too. What kind of test is it? What kind of test?
He's trying to see if you like it. He just wants to know how much you like it.
For one
he
person?
He wants to know how much do you like
it. Well, I guess he found out.
Well, clearly.
I like him. I'm not in love with him. There's a big, huge difference.
But here's the thing. Did you get the $32 lunch special?
Did I get what?
Did you get the $32 lunch special? It's because
that was just two chimichangas and that's it. It didn't come with anything.
I wasn't about to fork out
that kind of money. That's in love with you money. That's not I like you money. Taco Bell is, you know, I like you money. He could have got a Taco Supreme. I mean, come on. I would have even gotten him a grande nacho. That's how much I like him.
Was he at work or was he at home? $32 for two chimichangas?
No.
Was he at work or was he at home?
He was at work.
Okay, fair enough. But it's still kind of a setup. I'm just going to be honest with you. Because here's the deal. If you're willing to do that, like, you know what, you're cool. It's a one-off. So you do that, and then he's like, all right. Because like you just said. Now, here's the thing. Next week, you just said, I've got to do dinner, movie, blah, blah, blah. So you're saying if he spends $200 to take you out, it's okay. But if you drop $32 for lunch to kind of say, yeah, I like you, it's not okay.
Yeah, because those prices are insane. No, it'd be different if it was a Red Lobster platter, $32. Okay.
No, it wouldn't. It's the principle. He's proving the point. It's the principle. It doesn't matter. Look, if I take you to a taco truck on the side of the road and go, sweetheart, can you get me 13 El Pastor tacos and bring them to my job? The only thing you should be saying is, what's your job address? That tells me right then and there, she's a rider. Even if I tell you I'll give you the money when you get back, it says, you know what, she's a rider. She's willing to get me 13 El Pastor and one fucking carne asada because I'm goofy like that. And then if you bring them to my job, you have no idea what the end result will be. But like you said, if you're in like, it's a little bit different because you're showing some reservation. But it is kind of a test. I think we all do it to one another. But shit, if you'd have brought me some $32 chimichangas, I'd have been like, yeah, I'm going to go and take the rest of the day off, sweetheart. Meet me on over here. And like I said, I'm going to go and get a bath towel ready. But it's just one of those, again, priorities, the priority thing.
Have you spoken to him again since you attempted to go get that?
Huh?
Have you spoken to him again?
Oh yeah, yeah. And he still wants to go out. He still wants to take me out next Saturday too. He's excited. So listen,
if he's not listening, let me give you a word of advice. If he's not listening right now, surprise him.
If you're listening, first of all, if you're listening.
Yeah, we know how you do. You have crazy motherfuckers listening, and then we got to be damage control. I mean, sir, I love you, baby girl. You know I love you. I just want to know, like, sometimes I be wondering, is it a cape hanging out of that motherfucker? Does it have sparklers and shit? Does it wave the American flag? Because you be managing to get some of these cats to act a certain way. Listen, I ain't mad. You know, I talk bad to my light-skinned people because I love y'all, but at the same time, shit, I'm a little nervous. I'm a little nervous. I'm just wondering.
Well, you know, not all heroes wear capes.
Hey. Did you like that famous fish? One of the ones that everybody liked to get, that red snapper.
So here's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like you're winning in this situation. Because your $32 chimichangas is going to turn into a whole hell of a lot more on his
head. Heck yeah.
If he likes you that much, you already know. But see, this leads to another question. Why is it expensive on one end? Now, we get upset with men for kind of acting ghost the way we do. But we feel like, look, we pay to play. So my question is, why is it okay for us to pay to play? But then for you all to put, you know, different parameters on what you're going to do?
That's a great question, and I will answer that question. We'll answer that question on our after show. So sadly, those that are on Blog Talk Radio, you will not hear the answer unless you hop on down to our YouTube channel or go to our Facebook channel or go on BeGo Live and vibe with us. So get ready for our after show. So everyone go ahead and say your goodbye, and we will start the after show.
You guys have a good one. Mimi Acosta here. I will see you guys, or you guys will hear from me next week or the week after the week after. But thank you guys very much. Time to go.
Yep. Roger, George.
Hey, from your man, it's great to be back in the sec for a little bit. So, like I said, we'll be in and out. But I can't wait to get everything set up. I'm looking forward to what we've got coming up in the future. I'm real excited. Really excited about that. It's going to be bigger and better. Love you guys. Thanks for hanging in there. Holla at y'all on the flip side.
Not deuces, but douce. Peace, love, and hair grease.
Right. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. You've been listening to Phoebe and the Boys. We come to you every week, every weekend. Oh my God, we come to you every Wednesday for your midweek motivation. We are on Blog Talk Radio. You can also find us on iHeartRadio. We are also on Facebook as well as YouTube. You can also visit our Instagram channel, all of which are CB and the Boys or CB and the Boys Radio Show. So check us out, look us up. Don't forget to like us and subscribe. We'll be back next week, same time, same station. And we look forward to seeing, chatting with you guys. So if you are listening to us on Blog Talk Radio right now, don't forget to hop on over to Facebook or to our YouTube channel or join us on BeGo Live where you can vibe with us, have fun with us. And also before we end the show, I want to always end on a positive note. Remember, take care of yourselves and each other. Remember, love yourself because true love starts with loving oneself. If you don't love yourself, you can't expect to love someone else or to give someone else the opportunity to love you. And above all, believe in yourself. If you believe it, you can achieve it. So remember, you got this. So when life gets you down, think of CB and the Boys, and we'll make you smile. We'll turn that frown upside down. Every Wednesday for your midweek motivation. Also, shout out to BTS. Now, those who know me know I love BTS. My boys from South Korea, shout out to them. Permission to Dance is number one on the Billboard Hot 100. So basically they are the first group in history. Not just that they are a foreign group, but they are the first group in history to achieve this, I guess you could say, baton touch, whereas they had a number one hit and then it was replaced by another number one hit of the same artist, which is something that evidently had not been done before in music history. So they are continuing to break records and make history. So shout out to BTS, and to take us out is Permission to Dance, BTS, and we will see you next week. Bye-bye.
Esta tarde p.m. when your heart is like a drum beating louder with nowhere to guard it. When it all seems like it's wrong, sing along to Elton John and to that feeling we're just getting started.
When the night gets colder and the rhythm's got you falling behind, just dream about that moment when you look yourself right in the eye. And you say, I wanna dance to music, got me going, nothing that can stop how we move. Yeah, let's break the plans and lift the glass, we're closing the wall, and I'm for dancing more. We don't need to worry, just where we're going, know how to land it. No
the firelight. Mm-hmm.